Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations podcast. It is the 6th of January. It is Wednesday. It is 2021. I can't figure it out either. I am your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I have Charlotte Henry. Hi, Charlotte.
Hello, hello.
And also with me today, once again, filling out the other half of Team Nightmare, I have Andrew Orr. Hi, Andrew.
Oh, hey. I didn't expect you two to be here as well.
Yay. Yes, Charlotte, I guess we're in for that again today. So, Charlotte, I'd actually like to start with you and an interesting press release that you covered this morning.
Yeah, Apple put out In a kind of Apple way, it often does these kind of updates that aren't traditional press stories where it puts a whole load of information together. And after a little bit of unpacking, this one was about kind of App Store spend and general digital services spend within the App Store. And there was some stuff that Andrew and I were chatting about it and kind of really stood out. For example, New Year's Day was a record-breaking day on the App Store, apparently. Mm-hmm. Customers spent over $540 million in a single day.
That's a lot.
The most ever on a single day.
Yes.
It's a lot. Before we went on air, we speculated as to some of the reasons why that might be. Is it a combination of New Year's Day hangovers and people want something? Or is it a combination of no one had a hangover because no one had really been out and was like, I'm going to buy some nice stuff instead to start the year with.
Yeah.
Who knows? We can only speculate how many people bought like wellness apps and things on that day. Mm-hmm. But it's a lot of money, and it continued to trend from the Christmas period, which was that App Store customers spent $1.8 billion on digital goods between Christmas Eve and New Year's Eve.
Mm-hmm. It's a whole lot of money.
I mean, it's many monies.
Yeah, they do usually put out something about like what happened over Christmas, over the holiday period. There's usually something about that, or it gets a mention in the Q1 call or the Q2 call. You know, when we get that,
which is coming up soon.
Yeah, but it's always interesting to find out how much it was. So, especially because Apple has, aside from hardware, Apple has a lot more services, software, aside from the App Store this year than in years past. So I think that's kind of an interesting angle on this as well, is how many things Apple has for you to buy that are not phones and computers.
It is, and that was one of the things the company itself wanted to make a big play of. And again, a couple of things when I was reading through all that kind of jumped out at me.
Mm-hmm.
So Apple said that apparently now there are 90 million monthly active users of Apple Books.
Wait,
which
books?
I know
the Books app, like used to be iBooks, and now is just Books, and
apparently so.
Okay,
which I find extraordinary. And apparently there was for reasons you can probably decipher when I tell you them, there were some certain genres that have done really well. Apparently there were double-digit increases in mysteries and thrillers, romance. And the romance genres, and kids, comics, graphic novels and cookbooks, food and wine were even bigger than that. So
you don't say.
I can't imagine what would have inspired this.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's interesting. And
well, it sounds like a whole lot of people outside of Apple care about books. So now the question is whether or not anyone inside Apple is going to care about books.
Mm. And
yeah.
Andrew sounds convinced they will.
Andrew's 100% on board with that theory. Yeah. I've wanted someone to for a really long time, and it just doesn't seem like that person is there anymore.
Yeah. You two use Apple Books, don't you? Quite a bit.
I have.
Oh, yeah, I do.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I very rarely use it. Interesting.
I don't use it a ton. I do have some books that are only available through Apple Books, and so I use them for that. They're reference, a lot of it. I do spend a lot of time in the Kindle app because my library checks out books in the Kindle format, and so I can get ebooks, and so I do a lot of reading that way. So I spend a fair amount of time with both my Kindle hardware and my Kindle app, but I do use books a fair amount, and I have been disappointed that it just, like, no matter what else seems to be changing at Apple, like, books always kind of seems the same.
Mm. Mm. And it's interesting because they said they have sort of demonstrated the argument you're making about books in Apple Music, because Apple said that there are now that 90% of iOS 14 listeners use some of the features that got rolled out this year in the tool. So the Listen Now feature, the updated search tool, personal radio stations, autoplay, and apparently the engagement with the lyrics feature doubled over 2020. Quite what that means, because double nothing is nothing. And apparently more, this one is interesting to me as well, that more than 85% of iCloud users now have two-factor authentication enabled.
Interesting.
Yeah, that is some good security news.
Yeah, that's very good security news.
Wouldn't you? I would have thought that'd be much lower, but...
Well, they do sort of force you at a certain point. You do this now, basically. So I can see why it's that high. Honestly, I'm curious about the remainder and why they're not. That would be an interesting thing to me. If it's just a bunch of, like, you know, original iPhone SE users and, you know, people who run like Snow Leopard and just have never updated, you know, but still have an iCloud account or something. Like, I'm just wondering what the rest of those are, and if it's just that the hardware that they're like, they have iCloud accounts, but the hardware they're using doesn't give them the opportunity to two-factor anything. I wonder if it's as simple as that, or if there's more to that story. It would be interesting to me to find that out.
So. You will be shocked to know that all the numbers we did get, we never got told in that press release how many people either use the TV app. It just said how many people it was available to, or how many people watch Apple TV Plus. I know you're both shocked. I'm sorry to bring this dramatic news to you.
Dun dun dun. Yeah. I'm totally shocked by this. I'm curious about. I would be curious about use of the TV app, because I want to find. Actually, you know what? I want to find out from people about this. So, if you are a person who uses the TV app on more than one device, if you have it on your Fire TV, if you have it on your Roku, if you have it directly on your television, and you also use it on your phone or your iPad or on an Apple TV, I really want to know if that experience is the same across the platforms. So please let us know. Observations at MacObserver.com, TMO Daily on Twitter, and leave comments in the show notes. I want to know about this because I'm curious if that's where Apple is hoping that TV Plus will gain some traction, is like it's kind of the same whatever screen you're on. And I don't know if that's necessarily the case. Like, if you're using it on a Fire TV stick, is the TV app the same experience as it is on an Apple TV? Cue Charlotte rolling her eyes at everything having a stupid name.
There's a reason this show isn't videoed.
Just because I'm very curious about that experience, because I've tried to use the Apple app and the TV app, and mostly I don't like it. And so... I try not to pay attention to it when I don't absolutely have to, which is most of the time. So I want to know if people are having a good experience with that, especially if it's not on hardware from Apple. So that would be curious to me. Charlotte, we also got some more some other financial news from Apple.
Well,
I'm not mistaken.
This is of course related. The top line is basically Tim Cook is being paid, I don't know what the official term is, but it's a gazillion squillion ton of money.
Yeah. I think it was $2.3 bajillion. Something like that.
It's in that realm. Basically, his cash bonus has risen 40% to $10.7 million. So there's just, I think in total he's going to take away... So, yeah, according to the proxy filing, his 2020 pay, which excludes shares that have vested, totaled $14.8 million. That includes the cash bonus, a salary of $3 million, which hadn't gone up from the year before. I think he'll cope. there was also like $470,246 in security costs, $432,000, $564 for air travel.
Okay.
So, like, and the interesting point why it relates to the previous story is because in this proxy document, Tim, the board, this finally makes it clear that this is a reward for significant achievement and for what he's done for the company. It says, the board believes Mr. Cook brings unparalleled innovation and focus to the CEO role, demonstrate what it means to lead with values and integrity, and consistently delivers incredible results for our shareholders. Interestingly, I've been reading some stuff, and this might be something we want to dig in at a different point, but bonuses are going to change to be a bit more value reflected and environmental target reflected is my understanding. So that'll be something to watch as well.
Yeah. That sounds interesting too, I think. I like the idea of tying it to not just sales performance, but actually we've hit goals. We have other things that we want to do besides sell people consumer electronics. So as we do those other things, having the CEO's salary reflect that seems like a smart move. So I'm into it. I think that bit is going to be pretty interesting, especially as we see how that shakes out, because Apple's usually pretty transparent about their environmental goals and things like that. So it will be notable, I think, going forward to figure out how well Apple is doing. And part of that is the proxy filing that you're talking about, because it will talk about how well the company met their goals and let us know how well they're rewarding Tim for that. So that should be interesting. I'd be curious about that. Now, Andrew, you had an item that we were going to talk about today.
Yeah, I wrote this up as a cool stuff found. So I'll start off by saying, I don't remember when it happened, but kind of to compete with Apple, I think Spotify has been starting to make deals with podcast creators to have them move over to Spotify exclusively. Mm-hmm. And so there's this tool called Spotifeed that is able to take a Spotify like podcast URL, mm-hmm, and convert it to an RSS feed.
Nice.
But someone realized that this works for all Spotify podcasts, including the exclusive ones.
Ooh.
And so someone on Reddit shared the shortcut that lets you, it works on the share sheet. So you share the podcast to the shortcut, and then it is able to transfer it over to the Apple Podcasts app. Nice. Which I think is nice.
Yeah.
For me, there's only one podcast that is exclusive to Spotify, mm-hmm, which is kind of annoying to me just because I don't use Spotify for anything else.
Yeah.
I'm all in with Apple Podcasts and Apple Music. So okay. I thought it was nice just to be able to listen to it in the podcast app again.
Yeah. Definitely. Especially, I think there may be a number of people who are kind of in that boat of like, there's one or maybe there's two, and I don't listen to music over there and I don't use any of the other features that Spotify really wants me to be interested in. I'm just not. So I definitely like the idea, mm-hmm, of being able to move those over. And we've seen other utilities that do similar things like this too, I think.
Yeah. And as I pointed out in my article there, I hope I'm not ruining this by writing and talking about it. Like, I don't think it's necessarily illegal, but Spotify probably doesn't want you to listen to its exclusive podcast somewhere else.
They want you in the app.
So,
for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens.
Andrew Orr, ruining it for everyone since 2017. Something like that. I don't know.
I think it was before 2017, but
I was just picking. I don't know. I mean, it's been a while. Andrew with a long and storied history of ruining it for everybody, right? Is that better? We'll see.
Yes.
We'll workshop it a little bit. It'll be fine. So we did, like Charlotte said at the top of the show, we did get kind of an interesting press release with a bunch of numbers in it. If you want to find out more about that, you can check out the post over at MacObserver.com. I did want to just take a second. Charlotte, you did mention the lyrics feature, which is a thing that you've written up.
I did a video of how to use it.
Yes.
That it's was there on our YouTube channel. Subscribe to the YouTube channel.
Yes. And that was part of why I wanted to point it out, was because I knew that you had done the video for that. Because it's neat. And I think now I will point out that more than one person has said to me, I got in lyrics and I don't know how to get out again.
Yes.
Which is, so maybe that's where all that usage came from. Like, that was the first thing I thought of when you were like, yeah, the lyrics view has doubled. I'm like, yeah, because everybody got into it and no one can leave. Once you figure that out, it's great.
It's the Hotel California of app features.
It kind of is, because I have gotten like panic attacks from people. Off. What do I do? How do I get out of here?
You can turn it off. The video shows you how to turn it off.
It does. And so that's the other thing I wanted to highlight about the video, is it does help you disable that feature if you're one of the people who got in there and can't get out again. So I just wanted to make sure we had that on the record. And that was why I wanted to just jump back to that for a minute, was because like the lyrics view video is apparently not something I can pronounce very well, but it's very useful. And I wanted to also give us an opportunity to hype our YouTube channel. So there was that too. So that's going to do it for us today. I want to thank both of you for being here. Charlotte, thanks so much for coming by.
Thanks so much for having me.
And Andrew Orr, thank you for being here as always.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
I'm your host, Kelly Gamont. I will talk to all of you tomorrow. In the meantime, be excellent to each other and let's be careful out there.